This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Once there were two men who were fellow employees at a company, and they were traveling together to a strange city they had never been to in order to attend a business conference. Once they arrived in the airport, they rented a car, and they attempted to try to find their way through this strange city they had never been to and find the conference center. The one who was driving did his best, and the one who was the passenger was looking at a map. And just as they thought they were getting pretty close to where they needed to be, the man in the passenger seat said, "Hey, make sure you take a right at this light." And the one who was driving said, no, I think we're supposed to take a left." His friend said, no, I have the map, trust me, take a right." His friend said, "Well, I looked at the map on the airplane, I think we're supposed to take a left." And they argued like this for a couple minutes, and as they got to the light, guess what? The guy who was driving stubbornly turned into the left lane and took a left. Well, after driving for about a mile, it quickly dawned on both of them that the guy who was driving had been wrong, and his friend was right. They should have taken a right back there at the light. So the guy who was driving hung his head in humility, and he said, "Yeah, you're right. We should have taken a right back there at the light. You're right. I'm so sorry I didn't listen to you." But then he kept driving. He kept driving the wrong way. And finally his friend said, "Well, why don't you turn around?" And his other friend said, "Well, I said I was sorry. Isn't that good enough?" Now, we might laugh at that ridiculous story, someone admitting they're wrong, but still deliberately driving in the wrong direction. And yet, isn't that a good analogy of what the devil often tempts us to do? He tempts us to have a half-hearted repentance. You know, it's very easy to come before God and admit that we're wrong. But then we foolishly sometimes end up deliberately going in the same wrong direction. And my friends, even though it's a good start to admit that we're wrong, even though it's a good start to come to God and say that we're sorry for our sins, if we continue to deliberately travel in the wrong direction, things will not go very well for us. In tonight's sermon, we're going to find out from the example of the people of Nineveh that true repentance is an about face. Not only does repentance include admitting that we are wrong, but it also means agreeing with God that we need to go in a different direction, that we need to stop where we're going, have an about face, and go the way that God wants us to go. The people of Nineveh were a powerful, arrogant, violent, wicked people. And Jonah was a little guy from a weak nation at the edge of the Nineveh Empire. I can understand why Jonah was a little bit upset about God asking him to go and preach to Nineveh. Not only was Jonah concerned about the fact that they might actually repent and God might actually forgive them, which is not what Jonah wanted, but in the back of his mind, I'm sure he was also thinking, "Well, what if they don't repent? What if they harden their hearts? What are they going to do to me? They'll probably string me up." But as you know, they didn't. By a miracle of God, they actually listened to Jonah's sermon. Now, mind you, I have to admit it might have been easier to listen to a preacher who had recently spent the last 3 days in the belly of a fish. I mean, think about it. This guy had skin and hair that were probably bleached white by the digestive juices in the whale's stomach. His clothes were also half-digested. He probably had a piece of half-dried seaweed sticking right here. When a guy like that walks up to you and says, "Repent," you'll probably repent. Now, whether Jonah showed up looking like that, or whether he cleansed himself and cleaned up, we don't know. But the point is, the people of Nineveh heard his message and believed it. They actually admitted that they had sinned against God, and they sought his mercy. In fact, when they heard Jonah preach, they immediately responded by humbling themselves. They declared a fast. They removed their regular clothes and they put on sackcloth, which is a very ugly, uncomfortable thing to wear. They even poured ashes over their heads, a sign of mourning and grieving. Now, all this fasting and all this mourning was not just done by a few people. It was done from the least person of the city all the way up to the greatest. In fact, you might remember that when the message of Jonah's sermon reached the ears of the king, he also responded in humble repentance. He got off his mighty throne, he removed his royal robes, he put on sackcloth like everybody else, and he sat down in the dust. In all humility and contrition, he trades his robes for rags. He trades his throne for dirt. I mean, think about it. We're talking about the most powerful man in the world at that time. And yet, he is not only willing to repent, but he's willing to do it publicly before everybody in the city. Imagine a current world leader having that kind of humility today. In fact, the king of Nineveh also extends the fast, not just to the people, but even to the animals. He even says the animals are to stop eating. Imagine the bleeding of all the cows and the sheep and the horses. Imagine the infants crying because they're not being fed by their mothers. The whole city was in mourning and repentance. The whole city was seeking the mercy of God. My friends, this was nothing short of a miracle. You see, only God and God alone can change the human heart, and only God and God alone can actually move us to begin to change our behavior. You need to remember that in Nineveh, they were not only repenting with their words, they also repented with their actions. Remember what the king says to everybody? He says, "Let them give up their evil ways and their violence." So here we see that by a miracle of God, the Ninevites are repenting in a true manner. Not only are they verbally confessing their sins, but they are doing the best they can to turn from their evil behavior. Martin Luther once commented on the repentance of the Ninevites, and he said that Jesus would have probably said to them what he said to a Gentile that he once met in his ministry. During one of Jesus' missions, he met a Gentile who humbled himself before him and asked Jesus to heal his servant, but not to come under his roof to do it because he wasn't worthy to have Jesus come under his roof. He just said, "Jesus, just say the word from where you're at and my servant will be healed. I trust you." Well, Jesus looked at this Gentile and he said, "In no one in Israel have I found such great faith." And we see the same thing happening here in this book of Jonah. On the one hand, you have the prophet Jonah, who was raised in Israel. He knew God's word backwards and forwards. And yet, this is the guy who ends up stubbornly rejecting God and going his own way. On the the other hand, you have the Gentile city of Nineveh. They didn't have God's word. They didn't know about sin and mercy. But when they heard that sermon, the Holy Spirit melted their hearts, and they not only repented with their words, they repented with their actions. When we compare the repentance and faith of the people of Nineveh to Jonah's reaction to God's mercy on them, what a difference. Remember, Jonah gets angry at God. He ends up running away from him. But in contrast, the godless people of Nineveh turn from their sin and they run to the Lord. Now, of course, the big question this evening is this. What do we learn from this? Well, simply put, we all need to examine our own lives and ask ourselves, what kind of repentance do we have? Is it simply a verbal repentance and then we keep going in the wrong direction deliberately? Or is our repentance a true repentance where we realize not only that we need to confess our sins, but that we actually have to stop in our tracks, have an about face, and go in the direction that God wants us to go? Well, it doesn't take a genius to realize that we need to have the true repentance that we see in the Ninevites. The question is, how do we get it? Well, my friends, what we learn from Holy Scripture is that we cannot conjure up such repentance in ourselves. Such repentance needs to be given to us. And the only way it can be given to us is if we are hearing the Word of God as the Ninevites did. And then the Holy Spirit works through that Word of God and works a miracle in our hearts. The only way we can have true repentance is if God Himself gives it to us. And my friends, you need to know that God wants to give you true repentance. When you hear God's word and He tells you to confess your sins, He also is telling you to have an about face and change your behavior. Not because we have to turn from sin and do good works in order to earn God's love, because we can't. God doesn't tell us to turn from our sins because by doing that we somehow merit His forgiveness. We can't. The reason God wants us to have an about face and go the way He wants us to go is that He loves us, and He knows that if we keep going in the wrong direction, we're going to hurt ourselves for all eternity. God wants us to have an about face because He loves us and He wants the best for us. Now, does this mean that if we have true repentance, we're going to suddenly completely change overnight and that we'll never ever sin again and we'll always be going in the right direction? No. I'll be the first to tell you that no matter how hard I try to change my behavior, no matter how hard I try to avoid doing the things I shouldn't do, no matter how hard I try to do all the good things I ought to do, I always fall short. Because sometimes I do the very things I shouldn't, and sometimes I fail to do the very things I should. But you see, my friends, that's why the Christian life is about having an about face every day, every moment. You see, sometimes, in spite of our best efforts, we're going to struggle with weakness. In fact, sometimes we're going to fall flat on our face. But you see, what it means to be a Christian is not that we live a perfect life and never sin. What it means to be a Christian is that we have a daily, moment-by-moment, God-given about-face in our lives. Every day, we not only confess our sins to God and trust in His forgiveness, but every day we do the best that we can to turn from our behavior that is sinful and go the way that God would have us go. And if we do slip up, if we do take a wrong turn, rather than excusing it and justifying it, we stop in our tracks, we admit that we're wrong, and we, by God's grace, strive to go in the right direction again. That's what Luther meant when he said in the first of his 95 theses that the Christian life is an ongoing life of repentance. What he meant is that every day, every moment, we confess our sins, and then by the grace of God, we stop, we turn around, and we go the right way. And even though we're going to have bumps along the way, even though, as I said, we may fall flat on our face at times and take wrong turns, rather than excusing it or justifying it, we admit that we've sinned, we rejoice in God's mercy, and we turn around and we do our best to go in the direction that God wants us to go. The point is that we have an about face. Unfortunately, Jonah refused to have an about face. When Jonah saw that he had forgiven the Ninevites, Jonah got angry with God. We're going to learn in our Monday Thursday sermon that God's forgiveness to us is to result in us forgiving others. But that's something Jonah refused to do. You see, God wanted Jonah to take a turn that led to forgiving his enemies, but Jonah didn't want to go that direction. No, Jonah turned and went the other direction. He said, God, if you're the kind of God who would forgive people like that, then I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to go my own way. Yeah, if you want to forgive me and my friends, God, that's fine, but if you're going to forgive people like that, forget it. I'm going to go my own way, and I'm not going to look back. That's the kind of heart and unbelief that will send us to hell. Tonight, God is saying to you, I want to give you an about face, like the Ninevites. And that means every day, every moment, we not only confess our sins, but when we catch ourselves going the wrong way, rather than justifying it or affirming it, we stop in our tracks, we turn around, and we have an about face. And we might have to do that every day, several times a day. The point is, that's what it means to be a Christian. To confess our sins, to have an about face, and to know that God's direction for our life is what is best. It's God's direction for our life that will bless us and give us peace. So my friends, you can leave tonight knowing that God has given you an about face. Tonight, we confessed our sins. In the confession, we acknowledge that there are some sins we know about that we grieve over. There's even some sins in our life we don't even know about. And we hope God will eventually bring that to our knowledge too, so we can repent of them deliberately as well. The point is, when you leave this place tonight, think about those areas in your life where you're going the wrong direction. Think about those areas in your life, whether it be thoughts or words or deeds, that are the opposite of what God wants for you. Think about those things and then know, first of all, you are forgiven. You are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you. And then ask God to help you to have an about face. Ask Him to help you to do what it takes to stop and turn around and go in the direction that He wants you to go. And if as you're striving to do that, you have some bumps along the way, if as you strive to do that, you fall flat on your face, if as you strive to do that, you find that yet again, you're going in the wrong direction, don't despair. Just confess your sins again, know that you're forgiven, and then have an about face. And the more you do that, the more you're going to find that your life will change. Because the forgiveness that God gives you will slowly but surely transform you and move you in the right direction. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment, we'll have the